Okay.
There we go. All right. Are we on? Ready to go? Great. All right, everyone's here. I will start by reading our famous introductory statement that is required for quasi-judicial hearings. Good afternoon. This is the Adjustment Committee for February 7th, 2017. And I would like to begin by introducing first the Bureau of Development Services staff, Andy Gulitsia. Pretty much close, all right. Members of the committee here today are myself, Chair Roger Alfred, Commissioner Linda Bauer, Commissioner Charles Benson, and Commissioner Claire Carter. Committee members are private citizens appointed by the mayor to review to provide review when an administrative decision on an adjustment is appealed. We are not paid, but serve entirely as volunteers. More detailed information regarding the purpose and function of the committee can be found in the Portland Zoning Code. Committee members must declare a conflict of interest, bias, or ex parte contact prior to the staff presentation of a particular case. If a committee member has a conflict of interest or bias, they're not allowed to participate in the committee discussion or voting on that project. If a committee member has had an ex parte contact, they must declare the substance of it on the record, and it is subject to rebuttal. Before providing information on the hearing procedure, I would like to emphasize that adjustments are allowed by the zoning code. We sometimes hear testimony that zoning code regulations should be met and that if an adjustment is to be approved, it should only be due to hardship or because there's a compelling need to vary from the regulations. When City Council adopted the zoning code in 1991, it eliminated the previous hardship requirement. Please keep in mind as you testify that the zoning code allows adjustments to many regulations. The focus of today's hearing is whether the requested adjustments do or do not comply with the zoning code's approval criteria for adjustments. Those criteria are generally found in Code Section 33.805.040. For Type 2 appeals, an administrative decision has already been rendered on this case. The decision has now been appealed to the committee, and for Type 2 reviews, the following procedure is required. Public testimony can only address the applicable approval criteria or other criteria in the comprehensive plan or land use regulations which the person believes apply to the decision. The applicable criteria are set forth in the Portland Zoning Code and are more specifically identified in the administrative decision. BDS staff will identify the criteria as part of their presentation. Prior to the close of the hearing, any participant may request to have the hearing continued or to hold the record open in order to present additional evidence or testimony. If such a request is made, the committee will grant it and may either continue the hearing or hold the record open to allow additional evidence or testimony to be submitted. Following the continued hearing or the open record period, the committee will allow an additional period of time for participants to respond to evidence submitted at the continued hearing or during the initial open record period. The applicant will then have a final time period in which to submit final written arguments, but not evidence. The decision of the committee is final, although it can be challenged by filing a notice of intent to appeal with the Land Use Board of Appeals within 21 days of the final decision. LUBA's address will be shown on the copy of the committee's decision, which will be mailed within 17 days from the close of the record. If any person fails to raise an issue in person during the hearing or by letter, or fails to address an issue or provide evidence on that issue with enough specificity to allow the committee to respond to it, that issue may not be the basis for an appeal to LUBA. Failure of the applicant to raise constitutional or other issues relating to proposed conditions of approval with sufficient specificity to give the committee an opportunity to respond to the issues precludes an action for damages in circuit court under ORS 197.796. If the committee's decision is not appealed to LUBA, it must be recorded with the Multnomah County Recorder unless the requested adjustments are denied. Specific instructions will be provided with the notice of the committee's action. And now procedures for Type 2 on appeal, which is basically what we'll be doing here today. First, BDS staff will make a presentation that includes the applicant's proposal and slides of the site and surrounding area. The presentation will identify the applicable approval criteria and include a summary of the findings and recommendation contained in the administrative decision, as well as a summary of the appeal issues. Next, the appellant will make a presentation. Then, persons in support of the appellant, if any, will be given the opportunity to speak. Next, principal opponents of the appeal, if any, will then make their presentation. Other opponents of the appeal, if any, will then be given the opportunity to speak. The appellant may then rebut the staff presentation and or other testimony presented. Then public testimony will be closed. If any party requests an opportunity to submit additional evidence, the record will be held open for 7 days to allow time for all parties to submit additional evidence. The record will be held open an additional 7 days to allow all parties to submit evidence responding to the new evidence. And after the record is closed to all other parties, the applicant will have an additional final 7 days to submit final written arguments. After the record is closed to all parties, committee members will discuss and vote on the request. In the case of a tie vote, a majority of members present must vote affirmatively in order to take action. If the committee's decision overturns the BDS administrative decision, the adoption of new or revised findings will be required. At the time of its decision, the committee will announce when the revised findings will be considered. No additional testimony will be taken, but interested parties may attend. This hearing is part of the official record. Please talk specifically about this case, referring to the criteria contained in the administrative decision. Please be complete without repeating others and speak specifically about this property and how the criteria relate to this request. Please submit a copy of any factual information, such as testimony, photos, or other evidence that can help us in making our decision. These will be maintained as part of the record. So the cases being reviewed on appeal today, I understand we're going to be doing the first two of these as basically simultaneously because it's the same property and the same proposal.
Right.
So the two that we will be hearing first are LU 16-206216 and LU 16-206228. So we're basically consolidating those into one process, I think.
Correct.
Do any committee members have ex parte contacts to disclose?
No.
No.
No, I did make a site visit, though, some time ago.
Okay. Do any committee members have a conflict of interest to declare?
No.
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 No? Okay. Hearing none, we will move ahead with our staff presentation.
Thank you. I am Andy Galizia, a planner here at BDS. As you said, these are two proposals for two different case files, LU 16-206-216 and LU 16-206-228. The proposals are for two-story accessory structures with one-car garages on the ground floor and accessory dwelling units, or ADUs, on the second floor, and it's pictured here on the right on this slide. And these structures would be attached to each other along a common wall, and the common wall would be at the side lot line, which separates the two properties. So it's the same applicant for both of these properties, both of these cases. It is different property owners, though, and that's why, for zoning purposes, it's considered two separate sites in two separate cases. There were two separate staff decisions, and that's why technically, even though I'm presenting this as a single presentation, we would technically even need two separate adjustment committee decisions for these, one for each of these case files. So the staff decision for both of these cases was denial, and those denials were appealed by the applicant for both of these cases. So these are the two sites in the red hash marks. This is at the corner of 22nd and Southeast Clinton, about two blocks south of Division. So these are in the R2.5 single dwelling residential zone. You can see a lot of the surrounding area is also R2.5. There's a pocket of commercial zoning that's CN1 a bit to the west, and some lower density R5 zoning, which is R5 single dwelling residential, to the south and southeast. So this is an aerial view of the two sites. So this is 22nd here, and that's Clinton. And these are the two sites right here. There are existing one-car garages which are attached to each other at the side lot line, which you can see here. This photo seems a little bit shifted. The lot line should be running right through the middle of these. This is a photo of the two sites taken from across Southeast Clinton Street. So these are the two one-car garages that are attached to each other with a common wall at the side lot line. And it's essentially the same location where the applicant would propose the new buildings with garages and ADUs above. And this is just another photograph a little bit closer in of the same view, showing the two sites with houses on either side and these two one-car garages attached to each other at a common wall. This is the site plan. So again, two sites here. This is 2202 Southeast Clinton, and this is 2218. So I guess not keeping up with my pointer there. But this is the two sites I outlined in red here, the proposed footprint for the new structure, and what's in the hash marks, the gray hash marks, is the existing one-car garages. Thanks. So I would point out also that these are very small sites. One is 2,480 square feet, and the other is 2,520 square feet. Both of them are just about 50 feet wide and 50 feet deep. So this is the front elevation. And again, this is the, oh, now it's working. This is the lot line running right through this common wall here. And one-car garages on the ground floor on each side, and ADUs above. It's a two-story form, just about 20 feet tall, measured to the middle of the gable. And it's just under 20 feet tall, actually, and 20 feet is the maximum. And I would mention here that the second story actually cantilevers forward, and you can see that in this this rendering here. So I'm going to go over the adjustments that are requested. First is for the outdoor area standard, and it's to reduce the minimum width of outdoor area from 12 feet to 7.5 feet for LU 16206216, and from 12 feet to 11.25 feet for LU 16206228. I'm just going to take you back to the site plan really briefly to illustrate this. So the way the outdoor area standard works is you have to have at least 250 square feet of qualifying outdoor area outside of the front setback. The front setback is the first 10 feet from the north lot line on both of these sites. And also, in addition to 250 square feet, you have to be able to fit a 12 by 12 square in that area. And on this site, 2202 Southeast Clinton, that largest square is going to be right here between these walls, and it's about 7.5 feet. And on the other site, it's again between the walls of the house and the proposed garage, and it's about 11 feet, 3 inches. So, and for the side setback standard, the request is to reduce the side setback requirement from 5 feet to 0 for both sites. And that's reducing to 0 the east side setback for 2202 Southeast Clinton and the west side setback for 2218 Southeast Clinton. And this is what would allow the buildings to be attached to each other. And the third adjustment requested is to the front setback requirement for a detached accessory dwelling unit, and that's to reduce the minimum front setback for a detached ADU from 40 feet to 16 feet, and that's from 40 feet to 16 feet for both of these sites. I would just mention that detached in this case means detached from the house. Even though they would be attached to each other in this proposal, they would still be considered detached ADUs. I'll go through the relevant adjustment approval criteria and kind of summarize the staff decision. So criterion A is that granting the adjustment will equally or better meet the purposes of the regulations to be modified. So the purpose of the outdoor area standard can be summarized as to assure opportunities for outdoor relaxation or recreation. And again, the outdoor area standard in this R2.5 zone has two parts, at least 250 square feet of outdoor area outside the front setback, and at least a 12 by 12 square fitting into that outdoor area, also outside the front setback. So the proposed adjustments would reduce the width of that largest square from 12 to 7.5 feet on one site, and from 12 to 11.25 feet on the other. But on both of these sites, there would be more total outdoor area than required. Again, the requirement being 250 square feet. For 2202 Southeast Clinton, that's the corner lot, there'd be 795 square feet of qualifying outdoor area. And for 2218 Southeast Clinton, there would be 732 square feet of qualifying outdoor area. So staff found, after reviewing the site plan, that even if the width of that largest square was reduced as proposed in the adjustment, there would still be enough contiguous, usable outdoor area to allow outdoor recreation and relaxation. So staff found that the outdoor area adjustments could be considered equally consistent with the purpose of the standard. So the purpose of the minimum side setback standard is to maintain light, air, fire safety, privacy, reasonable physical relationship between homes, and reflect the general building scale and placement of houses in the neighborhood. So again, the adjustment requests are to reduce the side setbacks to zero, where the structures would be attached to each other, affecting the east side of one and the west side of the other. Staff found that reducing the side setbacks to zero would not negatively affect light, air, fire safety, the physical relationship between homes, or privacy for either of the lots subject to these applications. The two primary houses would still have the same separation, and specific building code requirements for attached structures would protect fire safety between the two. Staff also found that the setback adjustments would not negatively impact most neighboring lots in terms of light, air, fire safety, the physical relationship between homes, or privacy. And this is because the minimum setbacks would be met from all the lot lines except for the side lot line separating these two sites. However, staff did find that attaching these two-story structures together, which is what the side setback adjustments would enable, would not equally maintain light and air for the abutting neighbor to the south. Staff found that two-story structures attached to each other would have a greater impact on light and air for that property than would two structures that were separated by clear space between them, which is what would be required without these adjustments. And just note here, there were two letters that came in just this morning that hopefully you all have received copies of. One of them is from the abutting neighbor to the south, who does state some concerns about light. So staff also found that the attachment of these two-story structures together, which is again what these setback adjustments would enable, would not equally meet the purpose of the standard related to the general building scale of the neighborhood. Two-story accessory structures built close to the street is not a typical development pattern in the neighborhood, and in this case, the total volume of the attached structures together would appear almost as large as the houses on either of these lots and would be set back only slightly further from the street. The second story cantilever on both of these would be about 7 feet further from the street than either of the houses. So staff found that the result would have the appearance of a third house wedged between the two existing houses, and that this would create a crowded and out-of-character appearance on these very small lots. So staff found the side setback adjustments were not consistent with all aspects of the purpose of the standard. So the purpose of the ADU development standards, and this set of standards includes the minimum 40-foot setback for detached ADUs, and this is to ensure that ADUs are smaller than primary houses and are compatible with neighborhood character and the general building scale and placement of structures in the neighborhood. And again, the adjustment request is to reduce the minimum front setback for the detached ADUs from 40 feet to 16 feet on both of these lots. So it seems from this purpose statement that the intent of the minimum 40-foot setback requirement is that ADUs would be visually subordinate to primary houses as viewed from the street and would maintain to some extent the existing character, the one house per lot character and appearance of single dwelling residential neighborhoods. In this case, the ADUs themselves, which is excluding the garage space, would clearly be much smaller than the primary houses on either lot. Each of the ADUs would only be about 350 square feet of living area. But again, the total volume of the two-story structures together would be almost as large as either house, or would appear almost as large as either house, and staff found that the result would have the appearance of a third house-sized structure between these homes, and that this would create a crowded appearance on these small lots, and that bringing this volume forward closer to the street, which is what this adjustment would enable, would not equally meet the purpose of the 40-foot front setback requirement for a detached ADU. So since staff found that only one of the three adjustments would equally meet all aspects of the purpose of the regulation, staff found that criterion A was not met. So criterion B, if in a residential zone, the proposal will not significantly detract from the livability or appearance of the residential area. For the outdoor area adjustment, staff again found that the adjustment would equally meet the purpose of the standard, and staff didn't find there would be significant impacts to the livability or appearance of the surrounding neighborhood from that adjustment. For the other two adjustments, to the side setback and to the front setback, for the ADU, staff's finding was that the building form enabled by these adjustments would have a significant impact on neighborhood aesthetics. Even though there are positive aspects of the design which promote compatibility with the neighborhood, again, the combined volume of these two-story structures together would appear almost as large as the main houses and would be set back only slightly further from the street. So the result would have the appearance of a third house or house-sized structure wedged between these existing houses, and staff found this would create a crowded appearance on these small lots and a development pattern that's not typical in the neighborhood. So staff found criterion B was not met. Criterion C is the cumulative effect of the adjustments results in a project which is still consistent with the overall purpose of the zone. So the purposes of single-dwelling residential zones like R2.5 are spelled out in the zoning code, include to create, maintain, and promote single-dwelling neighborhoods, preserve the character of neighborhoods, and promote desirable residential areas by addressing aesthetically pleasing environments. Staff's finding was that the cumulative effect of these three adjustments would not protect the character of the neighborhood or promote an aesthetically pleasing environment. And it's the same reasons as for the other criteria. The combined volume of the structures would appear almost as large as the main houses, set back only slightly further, and the result would have the appearance of a third house-sized structure wedged between the houses, and this would create a crowded appearance on small lots in a development pattern that's not typical. So staff found that criterion C was not met. And the last applicable approval criterion is criterion E. Criterion D is not applicable because it deals with designated scenic and historic resources, and neither of these sites has these resource designations. So criterion E is that any impacts resulting from the adjustment are mitigated to the extent practical. For the outdoor area adjustment, staff did not anticipate any negative impacts to the surrounding neighborhood that would require mitigation. For the other two adjustments, again to the side setbacks to allow the attachment and to the front setback requirement for the ADUs, staff found that there wasn't sufficient evidence to find that the negative impacts I've discussed for the other approval criteria would be mitigated to the extent practical. So I would just acknowledge these are very difficult sites, each one only about 2,500 square feet, each one only 50 feet deep. And on top of that, the code does require that the applicant would maintain off-street parking for each of these lots. Each site would have to have at least one parking space, at least 9 by 18 in dimension, and set back behind the front setback line. So there's really no way that I could see for detached ADUs to be created on these lots without adjustments. But even with that said, staff's finding was that if the building height could be lowered, that could more effectively mitigate negative impacts. A design with a lower building height could maybe still have the garages on the ground floor, but then instead of a full second story with then a gable roof on top of that, the ADUs could be contained within the roof and with dormers for headroom, so creating a lower peak height and a one-and-a-half-story type of design. And there may be reasons why this type of design isn't practical for these sites, but since there wasn't evidence in the record to demonstrate why a lower height wasn't practical, staff's finding was that criterion E was not shown to be met. So in conclusion, staff found that the applicable approval criteria were not met, so the staff decision was denial for both applications, and the denials were appealed by the applicant for both applications. I would just point out that, as I think you know, this one got postponed, I think, four times, this hearing, three times because of the weather. So the applicant did extend our 120-day review period by another 30 days, but that actually expires next Friday. So just as we proceed today, if the adjustment committee were inclined to continue the hearing or to want to come back with different findings, then we would need to ask the applicant if he would extend that period again. And that concludes my presentation. If there are any questions, I'd be happy to answer them.
Great. Thank you, Andy. Does anyone have any questions for staff about the presentation? Nope, doesn't look like it. Okay. So we can go ahead and have the appellants come up, and please go ahead and state your name and address for the record. Okay. Thanks.
Tony Marnella, Marnella Homes, 18318 Southeast Abernathy Lane, Milwaukee, 97267.
Danny Rubin, and I reside at 13990 Chelsea Drive, Lake Oswego, Oregon.
Thanks.
First, I'd just like to thank everyone for giving us this opportunity. I was starting to question whether or not it was actually going to happen, so I thank you for that. I did put together some pictures that I just wanted to give everybody as I kind of worked through this, so did you get yours? So one of the things that I wanted to go through was, you know, the staff does acknowledge that the proposed structure meets the maximum building size and height standards and the minimum setback standards from the lot lines other than the common wall side and the front. So other than the fact that we were very limited because of the narrowness of this lot, and we were repeating an existing condition, which is two common wall single car garages, we have met every standard on the structure as far as height and elements and features and siding, roof pitch. We drew elements from the homes to either side. The staff also acknowledges that the proposal supports the livability and appearance of the neighborhood by providing off-street parking within the structure and by providing design details which enhance compatibility, such as horizontal lap siding, generous eaves, articulated front facade, and windows in the garage doors. So we struggle with the contradictory statements that the proposal does not protect the established character of the surrounding neighborhood or promote aesthetically pleasing environment, because we feel that it does. What I really want to draw your attention to on the photos is these are all within a block, the two block. I literally walked around the block that this project sits on. And I think what you'll see here, and I wanted to definitely clarify that I purposely did that. These aren't cherry-picked photos to try and make a case. I walked right around to show the immediate neighborhood to try and really draw attention to this. Because as you'll see, there's no consistent style for this neighborhood, nor is there any consistent use. Like many of the close-in Portland neighborhoods, it is truly a mixed-use neighborhood. It has commercial buildings with restaurants, shops, offices, apartments, duplexes, triplexes, townhomes, large homes, small homes, on small lots and large lots. It has garages under, to the front, to the back, and some with no garage at all. We feel that our project would be just one of many styles that influence this little neighborhood. The staff states that the light and air impacts on the property to the south would be greater with a two-story attached structure than would be separate structures if they were required to have standard setbacks. However, based on the orientation of the home to the south, the benefits of having two ADUs in lieu of attached ADUs would be negligible. And I did want one of the new letters, or the letters that just came in, I got, I believe Andy sent it to us today, in respect of her concerns, if we were on a standard lot and we complied with the front yard setbacks, we are not requesting any change to the rear yard setbacks, nor have we asked for an adjustment to the height. So any improvement to this site other than replacing two flat roof garages with two more flat roof garages, we would be impacting her light. So I don't take away from that concern. Obviously, any change and improvement in a neighborhood is going to impact someone in some manner, but any development of or change to the existing use on those two lots would shade because of how close their home is to the property line. So the height's not being requested. They're both in compliance. So whether this was, on a deeper lot or the existing, there would still be shading. just wanted to point that out. The staff for pizza statement in the staff report that the new almost house-sized structure would seem to be wedged between the existing houses on this site and the neighboring lot, creating an overdeveloped appearance compared to the immediate neighborhood, that it would significantly detract from the neighborhood's appearance, and the cumulative effect would be a development which staff finds does not protect the established character of the surrounding neighborhood or promote aesthetically pleasing environment. However, when our project was submitted to the Abernathy Neighborhood Association, their association representative stated that the board felt it was a great use of space and they look forward to seeing it built. So the neighborhood association does not feel that it would detract from the neighborhood's appearance. And based on the mixed uses that I've illustrated here and presented in the photos of the neighborhood, my question is, what is the neighborhood's defined appearance? Please note that the proposed new structure would be approximately 15 feet shorter than the existing homes, not almost as large as the existing house as stated by staff in their report. We felt that this does meet all the purpose statements, especially ensure that accessory dwelling units are smaller in size than houses, attached houses, or manufactured homes. This structure will be visibly subordinate to the main houses as viewed from the street. Staff is concerned that allowing this adjustment for the setbacks would create a situation which would not be compatible with the neighborhood or reflect its great or general building scale. A two-story detached accessory structure built to a side lot line as close to the street lot line is not a development pattern typically found in this neighborhood or single dwelling residential neighborhoods throughout the city. Yet they also refer to this situation as a three-house size residential structures. However, in the areas of the neighborhood that have narrow 2,500 square foot lots, a curb view with homes with narrow side setbacks is a typical development pattern, as represented in the photos that I've presented. The only difference we are presenting is a subordinate structure that will be positioned between two larger homes. We feel that this does meet the purpose statements, especially ensure that accessory dwelling units are compatible with the desired character and livability of residential zones, respect the general building scale and placement of structures to allow sharing of common space on the lot, such as driveways and yards. In the narrow lot areas of the neighborhood, full-size homes sit as close or closer than we are proposing. We are allowing enough space to share between structures, and our proposed structure is subordinate to the main homes as well. I truly hope that you will take into consideration the existing condition of the two garages on the site and the improvement that this project brings to the neighborhood. The two small garages are in disrepair and are only capable of garaging very small compact cars. One of the letters that we had, which was the only letter really that we had until just recently here, the main concern that the gentleman had was about parking. We're actually offering four off-street parkings with this project. And we feel we're contributing to an effort to try and mitigate some of the parking issues in this immediate neighborhood. So we are asking to, you know, please consider the Neighborhoods Association's comments, and that other than the requested adjustments due to the size of the existing lots, this project complies with the city's design standards for accessory dwelling units. We feel that we have designed a project that most efficiently utilizes the space available, does fit into the neighborhood, and should be allowed to proceed. Thank you for your time and consideration.
Thank you for your testimony, and thanks for sticking with us as we have tried to get this actually scheduled and in front of the committee. So
you bet.
It's been a struggle.
I did want to point your attention to one other thing too. There was a comment that there was didn't appear to be any effort for us in trying to come up with smaller structures. I believe behind the photos is a, and I have one that shows a little bit more detail, but we did try to come up with some other options. And if you think about a 12-foot wide structure, and you lower that down to meet a 15-foot, you end up with about a 4-foot wide corridor between those joists, and that's bringing the sidewalls down to, I think, 4 or 5 feet. So you, a 6-foot tall person could basically walk front and back, and that's about all you could do. The other option is to get rid of the garage altogether and have a true story and a half ADU that's joined there. But again, if we listen to the neighborhood, parking is an issue, and then we're taking away two parking opportunities by going with that. So I feel we have really tried to vet what is the single best use of this site. And you know, we are open to suggestions and alternatives. Our goal here is to walk away with an approval, a design that everyone feels is compatible and works. We just feel that we've been working on this for over a year, and we feel we have vetted this, and it is about as good as it gets. But mm-hmm. we're not sitting here claiming to be experts on design either.
Great, thank you. Committee members have any questions for the applicant? Go ahead.
I do. When you claim that you're helping the parking situation in the neighborhood, this would be basically by providing a car bay in the garage and space for a garage in front of the ADU. Is that?
Yes. There'll be a full off-street
and so,
in front and then a garage.
So right now you're saying the garage is so small that it is not used as a garage or for parking?
Yeah, in fact, Danny is one of the owners. He's the owner of the property to the east, and so he can speak on that.
Right.
Yeah, the garage as it is now, for the one that I own and my neighbor, is in such disrepair, and it leaks, and it's really not conducive to put in a car. I wouldn't feel safe.
So what is the size of it, though? That's I think, the question of the condition is.
Yeah, Tony probably knows that better than I do, but.
Is, you know, will it fit a regular size car in it?
Oh, I would think.
I think that the site plan actually has a dimension showing the existing garage, and I believe the existing garages are 10 wide mm-hmm. by 13. So that's an extremely compact little car to fit inside.
Yeah, yeah. Thank you.
Any other questions? Go ahead. Yeah, Charles?
Hi. Thank you for your presentation. Quick question, and sorry I didn't make it to the site. Can you show me on these pictures do you have pictures of the ones right directly across the street and Kitty Corner? These similar lot sizes? I apologize. Do you have pictures of this one and this one? I apologize, I didn't make it to the site. Is this right here?
Yeah.
Okay, thank you.
I have another question. Mm-hmm. And that is regarding the height of the proposed ADU relative to the height of each structure on each side. I wish that we'd had a cross-section that really showed the relationship of that ADU with the structures on each side. So what is the height of the existing houses to the peak of the house? Could you know that?
There is actually one that's self-imposed.
This one, I have to recheck this because I don't think it's in scale. I don't think it shows the scale.
It was an attempt to kind of show how.
Right, I understand that was the case.
One home is basically 2 stories and a half of home to the right.
Uh-huh. So it has the peak roof, which is the additional height.
So. We're estimating, and you know, we can if it's conditioned, we're happy to confirm that, you know, later with a survey. But we believe that they're about 35 feet high.
Yeah. Do Did you get the height of the adjacent buildings and the ADU?
No, they're very old homes. There were no building plans on file.
Okay.
I can show you the picture again. I think that's right. It was 2.5 stories on one side and 1.5 on the other.
Yeah, okay. Okay, thank you. So there are, both of the buildings have, I'm assuming the basements? Is that underneath? And then the porch you go up, and that's kind of where the half story above grade is, and then there's 2 stories above that.
West side is actually 2 stories plus an attic space.
Okay. Thank you very much. I think this is important because we're talking about the scale of the proposed building and the scale of the existing neighborhood. So, thank you.
One quick question. So I think you mentioned the neighborhood association, and we don't have anything official in the record from them, right? But it sounded like your discussion with them. At least indicated that they were not opposed to the project.
Yeah, it was our email communication back and forth from Michael. I can't forget his last name.
Okay. Yeah. Anybody? Any other questions for the applicant? No. Okay. All right. Thanks very much. And you may have the opportunity to come back up if you want. If there's a rebuttal opportunity, thanks. I don't know if there's anyone else here. I don't think I have any cards, so maybe I don't have anybody else who is signed up to testify. No? Okay. Then I guess we will not have opponents testifying either. So any other questions for any committee members? Have any other questions for staff? Or otherwise we can close the public testimony and move into general discussion. All right. Maybe I won't officially close the record yet, just in case we do have any other questions for the applicant. But let's hear what people have to think. I guess I'll start. And the photos are really helpful in that they do provide a good picture and just visual depiction of the fact that it is, you know, a hodgepodge in that neighborhood, it seems, as far as architectural styles, et cetera. My inclination, though, is that I do tend to agree with the staff about the staff report about particularly the purpose behind the minimum 40-foot front setback and the overall purpose when you read through those seeming to be aimed at having detached ADUs seem smaller and visually subordinate to main houses. And I think this proposal does have the real feel of putting something that looks like a third house in the middle of 2 existing houses on what's really just a 5,000 square foot lot. So that's a tough one for me to agree with, I think.
So having dealt with these ADU rules before, I would say, it appears that the city intent is for the ADUs to be located behind the main building throughout the city. And there are some circumstances where this simply will not work. And these are very small lots in this area. It's a very urbanizing area with intensive residential uses. So, I'm not that concerned about the 40-foot setback, as long as there's space in front, the setback from the sidewalk and the street is met to allow parking, off-site parking, that it seems like, an ADU to put an ADU in this type of neighborhood with this level of density in a 2.5, neighborhood, the 40-foot setback may not be essential. But I am interested in that massing effect on the house to the south. How close is that house and where is that house's setbacks? And is the letter that indicated that their main living area is definitely going to be shaded. So I'm kind of interested in, is there any way to look at where that south property lies relative to the proposed ADU?
Yeah, maybe Andy, do you have
the only thing I can really do now is to show you the aerial photo, and maybe we can kind of see. It's didn't get that letter until this morning, so if I had gotten that in the review period, I maybe would have responded more fully in the staff decision. But I mean, you can see the house is looks like it's set back a pretty typical distance. I don't know if that's 5 feet or more or less, but it looks like it's pretty much in line with setbacks in the neighborhood.
So I really
don't know exactly how far back it is from the lot line. I think that the applicant's proposal was to set the new structure 5 feet back. I'm going to just double check that. So there might be about 10 feet or so between the two, but I don't know if that's exactly the right number.
It looks that the house to the south looks fairly close to that north lot line.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Any other comments or questions?
And so my other comment, having made a site visit and looked at this neighborhood, is it is a very architecturally mixed area. And I think up on where the street matters, although I'm getting old, I guess the street names are on there, but I just can't read them.
On
22nd, there are quite a number of buildings with garages that were added after the buildings were the initial residences were built, that are add-on garages and are right at the sidewalk or very close to the sidewalk line. I'm going off towards Division Street. There is, I don't know if it's an ADU, I guess it's a duplex, but it looks, has also a, it appears to have a shared wall that is on the west side of 22nd, a half a block up from Clinton Street. It's definitely an interesting neighborhood. I think it's going through some transitions. So that is just, kind of my observation. And we're not designing a view, so so we have to rule only on those adjustment criteria.
Yep, thanks. Any other comments? Yeah, go ahead, Charles.
I do appreciate what the applicant has done in terms of trying to get something that fits into the neighborhood, because I see from the pictures there's lots of different sizes, lots of different things. I just think it's unfortunate that you have two small lots, which are the size of a normal lot in that area, and you have two full-size houses already on that. And I think the intent of the city's ADU code, as I read it, is to put another house smaller on the size of a regular size lot or in behind that lot. And it just feels that it just seems a little too crowded to me to fit in that space.
Yeah, it did. There was a comment somewhere that said that it sort of feels like we're, sort of adding another duplex in the middle of this existing 5,000 square foot lot.
Two lots,
I mean. Right. Well, two lots of about 5,000 square feet total, right?
Yeah, because I was okay with the 16 feet versus 40 feet, because just the way it's situated, mm-hmm. they won't have, their lot doesn't have 40 feet front and back like that. But it's just you have two full size houses on the same size lot or two slots to combine the same as you'd have one large size house mm-hmm. for the rest of them. So adding another half house on each one, it's just like three houses in the space where maybe one and a half mm-hmm. should be.
I have a possibly irrelevant question, so stop me if it is not relevant. And that is, most of the zone codes have building coverage requirements. And what would that be for this 2.5 district? And I know also garages generally are they exempt from that, from being a lot coverage, residential lot coverage?
They're not exempt.
There
is a building coverage standard. It's a function of the lot size.
Mm-hmm.
And both of these sites were meeting the building coverage standard.
Okay.
I think that Yeah, so for one, the maximum was 1,260 square feet, and they were proposing 1,200. And the other, the maximum was 1,240 square feet, and they were proposing 1,134. And that's including both the main house and the accessory structure footprint. The only thing excluded really is the eaves.
Okay, thank you. That's helpful. That gives me some perspective.
All right, well, I mean, unless there's further discussion, I mean, I would be inclined to say we'll go ahead and close the public hearing, close the record. Does anybody want to propose a motion or? I'll give it a whirl. For discussion purposes, I guess the motion that I would put forward would be to deny the appeal and uphold the staff recommendation regarding denial of the adjustment.
Second.
Any further discussion? No? All right.
So we actually need to do that twice.
Oh, right. We need to do that twice. Good point.
So do the one.
Right. Okay. All right. So why don't we, for current purposes, the existing motion that has been seconded is related to case file 16-206216. So that is the 2202 site. I think maybe we'll go ahead and go for a vote.
Commissioner Benson? Commissioner Carter?
So just to make sure, when you say no, you mean not to deny it, but to approve,
yeah.
to not go with the staff recommendation, but to approve the adjustment.
Yes, staff recommendation.
Okay.
Okay, that's right. Okay. I think I will vote yes, although, you know, it has to be yes.
Commissioner Bauer?
Yes.
Yes. All right. So why don't we go ahead with, I'll go ahead and make the same motion this time with respect to case file LU 16-206228, which would be to motion to deny the appeal and affirm the staff administrative decision of denial of the adjustment.
Second.
All right.
I'll vote yes, but I have to say, what if I voted no?
Then that would be an interesting insight into you possibly being schizophrenic.
No, what do we do with this shared wall? Yes, okay, it's yes.
Yes. Yes.
Yes.
Yes. Okay. All right, thanks, everyone. Let's move ahead.